Sure, Jackson, thanks for having me. I think we're in a situation where the ongoing famine conditions and humanitarian crisis inside of Tigray itself is now being augmented by additional sort of fighting and displacement in surrounding regions. So what we've seen over the last couple of months is the conflict begin to spread out beyond the borders of Tigray into Amhara and Afar. Inside of Tigray itself, what we've seen is a continuation of the blockade, what amounts to a blockade by the government of Ethiopia. And there, you know, the situation for over 5 million people living inside, hunger remains an incredibly acute condition, with a million plus people living in something approaching famine conditions. And the number of an amount of humanitarian assistance that's getting in is still just a fraction of what's required.
And so 30 organizations, including yours, issued a letter, an open letter to the UN Secretary General. Can you tell us a little bit what this letter calls for, what it's asking for?
Yeah, sure. So the letter was signed by about 30 different civil society organizations and umbrella groups. So in many of these umbrella groups, there's a number of other organizations. And what we're trying to do is increase sort of the pressure and public awareness around the fact that this crisis inside of Tigray is continuing to degenerate, with the goal of putting real pressure on the United Nations Secretary General, and perhaps more importantly, members of the Security Council, to actually take more concrete action to get involved in the resolution of the crisis. In particular, what we're looking for is first, a humanitarian ceasefire of some form. And that's not just the government of Ethiopia and forces allied with it, but that's also the Tigrayan defense forces, who are at the moment the ones who have the initiative on the battlefield, not only outside, right, immediately outside Tigray, but also in some of the surrounding regions. So we want to see all the parties sort of agree to a ceasefire. We want to see the Ethiopian government very quickly open up access of the blockade. So right now, since the blockade went into effect, the UN estimates that it's needed over about 8,000 trucks or so of aid to go in. That's about 100 trucks a day. So far in that period of time, the last couple of months, we've seen about 400 plus trucks go through. So that gives you a feeling for how bad it is.
Right.
In addition, we want to see some humanitarian monitors deployed to be able to watch what's happening inside of Tigray and watch the aid being delivered, and really encourage, finally, as a final step, more increased sort of an inclusive political process that will bring all the parties to the conflict to the table across Ethiopia.
Now, the Ethiopian government could have control over its military, but we are talking about a situation where, like you say, various militia groups have now become active combatants in this conflict, many operating without control from the central government. Are there efforts to engage with these groups?
That's absolutely right. And that's why the situation is becoming increasingly dangerous now, because you see some of the alliances that are being formed across sort of ethnically based or communal based militia organizations now are sort of supersede the boundaries of particular regional regions of the country. And many of these are sort of immediately outside the control of the government. And so now what you see is the conflict beginning to generate its own momentum. And these, the different actors need to come to the table, and there needs to be a very concerted effort by the international community, the African Union, the United Nations, and key donors and regional stakeholders to get the parties to the conflict to the table to begin to talk about not only a ceasefire, but the broad outlines of a political solution.
And what kind of influence can the UN exert on the Ethiopian government to make them comply with these demands that you're making in this letter?
It's an excellent question. I mean, I think the pressure looks comes in a couple of different forms. The first thing is that the Security Council really needs to take ownership of this issue. And we're very pleased to see that for the first time, we believe that Ethiopia and the crisis in Ethiopia is going to appear formally on the calendar in October for discussion. And so we think that's a move forward. We're also grateful to see that members of the Security Council and the Secretary General are increasingly beginning to use sort of more pointed rhetoric in talking about who is responsible. At the end of the day, the UN simply needs to hold to account the parties to the conflict and the government of Ethiopia. But then countries like the United States, which exert more direct pressure, need to work in concert, right, with the UN and the other members of the Security Council. And you see the United States coming out and doing some fairly strong things in recent weeks. For example, we've seen the US put into place or establish the authority to exercise sanctions over individuals responsible for human rights abuse, atrocity, and then keeping humanitarian aid from flowing into areas where it's needed. Now, they haven't put those sanctions into effect yet. They simply said, the Biden administration has simply said that they've got the authority to do it. And they say, if we don't see behavior change in a couple of key areas, they're going to put those into place. And so what needs to happen is those sanctions need to be married with a political strategy to get the various parties of the conflict to the table under the threat of sanction, but with the United Nations and the African Union convening to begin to look at sort of workable and concrete solutions to improve the situation on the ground.